continue our worship service by standing and singing hymn number 335, Standing on the Promises.
Invite you to make us a home here, make your home here with us. We're just so glad you're here this morning, members too. In order to have a record of your attendance, if you would please fill out that you took my little card away. Took out the little art that's orange this morning. It's a prayer request form. And on one side, you'll be able to tell us who you are, and that would help us so much. Members, too, we'd like to know who's here this morning. We're so glad you're here. Oh, guys, keep it up. This is marvelous. Anything we can do for you, any prayers you have, visitors, returning visitors, members, please fill out that form. It's a good thing to have. Thank you very much. So glad you're here. Come back.
Amen.
Good morning. Bet you didn't know you'd get two ladies yelling at you this morning, huh? It's so good to see everybody, and so good to see that we have so many here. But I'm just up here to talk about something we don't have. Uh-oh. Kenny's ready to shoot me. Let me ask you, ladies, how many of you know how to sew? In the old days, we used to sew, right? Okay. Can you make a dress without a needle? No, there's no way. Fellas, can you drive a nail without a hammer? Mm-mm. Boys and girls, can you do your schoolwork without pencils and paper? Of course not. There's no way. We've got a solution. For the pencils and paper anyway. Now don't ask me to teach you to sew now. No, that's been too long ago. But we are doing our school drive. Don't forget our back to school drive for supplies. We have boxes in the back for you to use. And this is a wonderful project for needy children throughout the local schools of Auburndale. This year we will be benefiting Caldwell and also Central. So we've got another two Sundays, I think, after this. Make sure that we get this done. These boys and girls need all the help they can get, okay? We're so good at helping them. Just don't ask me to do their homework, all right? Okay, so don't forget to bring your school supplies. Thank you. Yes. Oh. Okay, there are lists in the back. If you say, I don't know what to get, there are lists in the back on the table back there that will give you guidelines on what to get. For those of you who may say, I don't like to shop, boo. Well, guess what? We have a lady here who loves to shop. So, Linda, would you raise your hand, please? If you would like to donate cash to Linda, and she will go shopping for all those who are maybe not able to go into the stores and shop around. But she'll be happy to buy for you, and the boys and girls are going to be all set. It won't be long now till they're going to have to perform here. We got to give them the tools, okay?
I'm not a girl today, so you got to deal with me. So, but it is good seeing you this morning, and we do a lot of good work. We do with Lena Vista Elementary here a lot too. They do a lot for us. So, be supportive of this ministry. People get to know our church by the things we do. We're not just here on Sunday. A lot of things happen during the whole week. And I'm roaring too, really bad. So anyhow, so just remember all the things we do. Tonight we have a movie night, so there's no regular service tonight. At 6 o'clock there's going to be the, what is the name of it? I can only imagine, so come and be with that. Short business meeting after church today, real short. Bring the financials out. Next week's the Lord's Supper, so remember that, and come participate in that as well. With that, let's pray before we have service. Our Father, we do stand on your promises, Lord. You told us that promise, Lord, you'll never leave us or forsake us, and you're always with us to help us. You also promised, Lord, that if two or three are gathered in your name, you're here. So, Lord, we have confidence in your word. It's true that you're here with us today. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just be with each of us, Lord, that we came in here to prepare to worship. And that we do leave all the distractions outside, and we're just here to worship and praise you. Lord, we need to keep our eyes focused on you, not ourselves or not anything else. This is not our church. This is a building that we come here to worship you. So, Lord, be with us as we worship. Be with us as they sing songs, as the preacher comes and gives us the word that you gave us. But, Lord, we also pray for our people. Lord, we have so many in our midst that are hurting. Lord, we do know that Satan's at work trying to destroy this ministry that we have. But, Lord, we know that we don't have to fight that battle. You already did. So all we have to do is just stand and focus upon you and continue the work that you've given us to do. That this church can be that light on this hill, that people who've never known about you or never heard about you could come in and hear and come to know you. So, Lord, even today, as we continue this ministry, Lord, or this service, if there's one here that doesn't know you for sure, that knows that if you died today, where you would be, Lord, today is the day they don't need to leave this building, that they would come to know you. So again, continue to keep us focused upon you today, and that everything that we say and do will just bring honor and glory to you, and we just give you praise for it in Christ's name.
Let's continue our worship service by singing hymn number 340, He Hideth My Soul.
Let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to you today and thank you for this beautiful day we have. We have sunny mornings and rainy afternoons. We sure can use this rain. Dear Heavenly Father, now we come to you and ask you to take portion of what you gave to us. And dear Lord, just watch all the other ones that are sick. We've got many, many in this church that have health issues, some worse than the others. And then, Lord, just watch over our servicemen to help us keep us safe and do what we can do. Then, dear Lord, we just want to bless this day and everyone here. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
There's no hope.
and continue our worship service by singing hymn number 441. Since Jesus came into my heart.
I tell you, I've got a frog in my throat this morning, and I'm trying to get him out of there, so. Amazing grace, how sweet a sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Like a flood, His mercy rained, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word, my hope, secure. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, And like a flood, His mercy rained, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Have a kind of pleasure.
That better? Yeah. How about that? I'm so glad you're here this morning. I appreciate you being here. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Book of Hebrews chapter 4. Going to read three verses for you, verses 14, 15, and 16. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. I'll give you just a moment to get there. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Would you pray with me? Father, I want to thank you so much for your word. I want to thank you so much, Lord, for each one that's come out this morning. As we open your word today, Lord, and I share the things that you've laid on my heart, Father, my prayer is very specific. I pray that you would speak through me, Lord, and speak to me as well. That the Holy Spirit would make the Word of God real to those who are here today, Father. I pray that as we continue to worship, that we would appreciate you more and more, that we would love you more and more, that we would realize that it's impossible for us to feel anything at all that you haven't felt, and that you are keenly aware of the struggles that we have and the things that affect our faith and our daily walk with you. So, Lord, I would ask you to remind us how much we are loved, how awesome you are as a God, and how amazing your grace is. So that, Father, when we find ourselves in the midst of the storm, and we will, that we would turn to you and never look back. In Jesus' name, amen. As Christians, it's very clear in God's word that you and I are instructed to live by faith. But what does that really mean? Okay. Does that mean if we have a lot of faith that God's going to answer all of our prayers? I don't think so. Why does faith sometimes disappear in our lives or takes a really high hit or a hard hit when things go bad? It's one of those things that I've wondered about and I've shared with the Sunday school class this morning. There have been moments in my life when I've wanted to question God about a lot of stuff and didn't get answers. It's not that he doesn't answer our prayer. Sometimes he just says no. Sometimes he says yes. And sometimes he says wait. And some of the most painful moments is waiting for an answer to the prayer that you would ask God. So how are we supposed to understand faith? What is authentic faith? How can we know that we're functioning on a daily basis within the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe what Andy Stanley said, it's the best definition of faith that I think I've ever heard in my life. Said, real authentic faith is believing that God is exactly who he said he is and that he will do exactly as he's promised. So if he's who he said he is and he's going to do what he says, that makes it really easy for me then to place my trust in him. As you well know, there's not a lot offered in the world that we live in today that has much value when it comes to placing our trust in those kinds of things. Sometimes, you know, we fail to realize that faith is the critical fundamental element in the process of our spiritual growth or our renewal. So we need to understand what faith is and what it isn't, and that's part of what today's message is all about. Sometimes faith is seen as some kind of a force or a power, something that we can turn to when we need it, only if we can just find the right switch to turn it on. It's almost like faith becomes a vending machine. Well, okay, Lord, I'm in the middle of a pretty tough spot right here, so I'm going to use you just like a vending machine. I'm going to put my quarters in, and I'm going to push that button. And what I really expect from you then is that you're going to speak to me and give me faith. Folks, that's a faulty definition. That's not exactly how it works. You know, confusion in this one area, I believe, is the primary reason why a lot of people abandon Christianity. It's not a surprise to when I share with you this morning that most churches have a revolving door. People come in, they take a close look, maybe they like what they see, maybe they stay for a little while, and then all of a sudden you look up and they're gone. And you don't know why they left sometimes, and you don't know when they're coming back, if they come back at all, and you begin to wonder what happened to that faith. You know, what happened in that process? It's the reason why we have so much difficulty trusting God in every area of our life. See, I've been that person, so I know what that looks like. And I've shared with you before, and I won't bore you to death this morning, some of the worst hurt I've ever had in my life came from people I went to church with. So I get it. Not every moment in God's house is a pleasant moment. Not every person that you meet in God's house is a pleasant person. But why does that have to affect my faith? Because my faith needs to be placed in Him, not in you. Nor should your faith be placed in me. It needs to be placed in Him. And He's a good God, is He not? He's a loving God. He's a wonderful God. So many times, preaching has to do with what we stand against. Well, I'm here to share with you this morning what we stand for. Why we're here. What is our faith about? Something positive. Something we can grab a hold of and hold on to and take home with us. You know, I've heard people say this. Well, I used to believe in God, but not now. And the next question that you want to ask is, well, why? And sometimes you get all kinds of reasons, some that you don't want to hear. I've heard people say, well, I used to be a Christian. Well, I used to go to church. Well, I used to believe, but not anymore. Not anymore. You know, for whatever reason, they say that they have lost their faith. It's like Demas in the New Testament. He was working with Paul on a missionary journey, and the Bible says of him, it says, you know, he had loved this present world, and he abandoned the ministry because he loved the present world. So my question is, what causes people to lose their faith? What caused Kenny to lose his faith at one particular time, to want to go home, to want to simply say it out loud, up close and personal to those who needed to hear it and those who didn't want to hear it? If that's what Christianity is all about, I'm done. I don't take any pride standing up here and telling you that. What I'm saying to you is that we should be very, very, very careful that we place our faith in a God who makes no mistakes. We place our faith in a Heavenly Father who loves us unconditionally. That means that you don't have to be on your A game for God to love you every moment of your life. The Bible says that He sacrificed His Son so that you and I might have a meaningful, real relationship with Him. That we might know what salvation is all about. That Jesus came so that we could be saved. So what on earth would cause you and I at maybe at certain times to lose the faith that we said we had at one particular time? Well, one of the things that I think happens is poor choices. When believers kind of veer off course morally or ethically or relationally, they are immediately kind of confronted with what you and I would know and understand as guilt, serious guilt, and guilt is very debilitating. And you know what? There are really only two ways that you and I are going to be able to get rid of our guilt. Number one is we would recognize what we've done. We would confess our sins to the Lord. We would ask for His grace and mercy in our life, and we would change our behavior. or we would change what we believe. And when I first read this in my study, I thought, oh boy, you done stopped preaching and gone to meddling now. But hear me out. It's sometimes easier to change what we say we believe and just walk away than it is to face the reality that maybe what's going on in my life is self-inflicted. Maybe I caused this. And the terminology that we use in the 21st century now is maybe I refuse to own it. Okay? If I can convince myself that there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing, then I can greatly diminish the guilt that might come with doing whatever it is I want instead of what God would want me to do. So changing how we believe is sometimes a whole lot easier than changing how we behave. You've heard this expression, well, guess what? It's a whole lot easier to get forgiveness than it is permission. You ever said that? Well, God's a forgiving God, so you know what? I'm just going to do what I want to do, and then when it doesn't go well, I'm going to ask God to forgive me. Boy, have we ever lived that? I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand, but your preachers live that. It's easier to do that, you know? It's so much easier to do that. I would rather do that, see, because I can go to God and He can forgive me. And what this leads to is trading in your faith for a convenient lifestyle. Now listen, if my faith is in God and I have the right understanding of who He really is and what He really does, then I will realize right away that that's not going to fly very well. It's an abuse of the grace of God to begin with. And what it tells me about my faith is that it's fairly shallow, or my faith is circumstantial, or my faith is anything but relational. And I explain that by saying to you, it's rooted in the present, and it's rooted in what I'm doing or what's working for me at the time. Now, poor choices and their consequences, friends, listen. Oftentimes, your faith takes a shot when that happens. I've heard folks say it all the time. Well, I used to believe in God because I thought He was a good God. I used to believe in God until this happened in my life. I used to believe in God till they said it was cancer. I used to believe in God until I lost the job that I had for 25 years. And you fill in the blanks, brothers and sisters. And I'm not trying to be negative this morning. I'm trying to just be real with you. It's easy for our faith to take a shot, and sometimes it's hard to come back from it. The second reason our faith takes a hit is unexplainable tragedies. Some things that are difficult in our life. I heard a cute illustration about some of this. He said when President Bush was president, said he flew into the airport and he looked up and he saw a guy he thought he recognized. And he walked over to him and said, Hey, excuse me. The guy was walking away from him. He said, excuse me. He looked at him and said, aren't you Moses? And the guy just kept walking. He said, Hey, I'm talking to you. Excuse me, aren't you Moses? And the guy just kept on walking and finally grabbed him by the shoulder and spun him around and said, sir, I'm talking to you. He said, I'm President Bush. I'd like to know, aren't you Moses? Why won't you talk to me? He said, well, the last time I talked to a bush, I wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. Not exactly unexplainable tragedy, but you get the point. Painful circumstances, adverse circumstances, tragic losses. Sometimes that don't fit with our understanding of the character of God or the Christian faith. And I've heard this said, and I've said it myself. Well, God, if you really loved me, you wouldn't let that happen. God, if you cared anything at all about my life, I would not have to go through what I'm going through now. God, I don't understand. And I'm not getting any answers from you. Those moments, my friend, take deep, penetrating shots at our faith. How could a good God allow this to happen in my life? God, why didn't you stop it? Like poor choices, unexplainable tragedy has caused a lot of people to abandon their faith. We ask, why is this happening to me? And the last time I said that, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. I didn't hear a voice out loud. There was no bright light in the room. I didn't have no theophany. What I'm telling you is deep down in my spirit, when I asked that question, why is this happening to me? It's like the Spirit of God kind of tapped me on the heart and said, why not you? Oh my. That's a very, very humbling moment. But it's true. Why am I supposed to think that I'm better than you? Why should this never happen to me? And I started doing the calculation in my head. Well, you know what, God? I've been a Christian since I was 18. I've been a Christian. Lord, I've served you. I've served you. I've served you and I've served you. And I've been faithful and I've taken jobs in the local church and I'm trying to live my life out for you. And there ought to be some kind of benefit. So how could you let this happen? It was as quiet as what it is right now. And there's a moment where we have to realize that just because we choose to walk every moment of our life as much as possible with the Lord Jesus does not mean that you and I are exempt from the same kinds of things that those could care nothing about God go through. We have tragic accidents. We lose family members. We got people struggling with cancer. We have surgeries. We have empty bank accounts. We have people looking for a job. Listen, it goes on and on and on and on. And those things take a shot against our faith. You know? We have to grow to get to that point. I have to grow to get to a point where my faith is not circumstantial. My faith is relational. If I just look at the circumstances that are around me, I'm going to always come out with a faulty definition of who God really is and what God's up to. And I've shared this with you several times before, but it just keeps coming back to me. I think because we have so many folks in our church right now that are struggling, some of them emotionally, some of them spiritually, a lot of them physically. So the whole point being is that maybe we need to stop to understand what God's up to. What is he trying to say? What's supposed to happen in my faith? Am I just supposed to take him at his word? Yes. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you by yourself. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can always call on me. I will never let you walk by yourself. And those verses fly right up against all the emotions that we have when we're in the middle of carrying those burdens around and our faith takes a shot. And I read this in one of the commentaries. It said, as long as our faith is grounded in only what we can see and what we experience, it will always be fragile. It will be circumstantial faith, totally dependent on our ability or the lack of it to interpret the events and the circumstances that surround us, and that false interpretation and expectations can be devastating to our faith. I'll give you an example. We pray for a promotion on our job and we don't get it. So we interpret that experience to mean several things. One is God doesn't answer prayer. And we know that's not true. The second one is God's mad at us. And that's not true. And the third one is God cannot be trusted. And that's not true. Why do I know that? Because this book said so. And it's not Kenny's opinion or yours. It's this book that says so. All of those things about God that I need to know. So how am I supposed to understand that process? Our faith becomes shattered because our interpretation of the circumstances and the issues are all wrong. That which we have seen and tried to make sense of doesn't make any sense. Let me give you an example. 4-year-old boy goes to the doctor with his daddy. And when they show up with that big old needle, to give him that tetanus shot, when they stick that needle in him, he may have a question about whether or not his daddy really loves him or not. Been there, got the scar. But years later, when he's had a chance to understand and evaluate that moment for what it's really supposed to be like, his whole interpretation of the event is completely different, because now he knows my daddy loved me enough to make sure that I was safe and healthy. Listen, church, I'd love to be able to look out at you and say, you're not going to have a problem tomorrow or next week or next month. I would love to look out at you and tell you that you're not going to get cancer. You're not going to have a fatal accident. You're not going to lose anybody out of your family that you love. But I can't do that. But I can look at you and tell you that if you're not very careful, your faith is going to take a serious hit if you don't look at the circumstances and evaluate them according to what you know need to know and what you know to be true in this book. See, either God is who he said he is, or he's not. Either he's going to do what he promised he would do, or he's not. So here's the point. Just as a child cannot correctly judge his parents' actions sometimes or their character based on one very scary trip to the doctor's office, sometimes we dare not draw conclusions about the goodness of God based on the immediate circumstances of our life. There's a lot, my friends, there's a lot of God bashing going on today. I'm just asking you to be careful where you place the blame. If it was from a poor choice, own it. Give your faith a chance to grow. Call it like it really is. This is my fault, God, and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me for this poor choice? And give me strength not to make it again. And the good news, friends, is that he hears that kind of confession, and he will provide that kind of strength to help you and I make better choices. If you had a tragic circumstance in your life, I can't take that back. I can't make that go away. But God knows and he understands how we feel and why we feel the way that we do. He knows when we hurt and how we hurt and why we hurt. And he understands that we are human. He made us. He gets it. We have emotions. We have thoughts. And we have the struggle that comes with some of that stuff. But we need to be reminded that God's faithfulness, his love, and character are never based on the unfolding of circumstances in our lives. If my faith and your faith is circumstantial, it's going to be like a mountain railroad. God will be a really good God when we're on the mountain and things are going well. And if we're not careful, the devil will whisper in our ear when the train starts down the hill and starts working back up. The devil will whisper in our ear and he'll tell us, yeah, you'd like to think God cares about you, but he really doesn't, because if he did, you wouldn't be going through this. And the flip side of this whole story is this. God does some of his very best work in my life and in your life when the difficulties that we face cause us to stop and think about where we are and what we're going through and who God is and how he cares about us. Circumstantial faith is fragile, my friends, because the frame of reference is way too small. It's based on what we can see right now and what we feel right now in our immediate surroundings. And if God doesn't answer our questions now or our prayers right away, we assume somehow that he doesn't care for us, that he's too busy, or that there's problems. The Word of God says that he understands who we are, that we have a high priest. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, Jesus is not untouchable, my friends. It's not that he don't understand how we feel because he's been there. It's not that he doesn't want to help us because he does want to help us, but there's a time when we have to do our part. There's biblical example after biblical example, and I'll share a couple of them with you, but time won't allow us to move forward with that. Think about Joseph of the Old Testament. He was sold by his brothers, you know. They hated him. They thought about killing him. They decided to sell him out and make a little buck off of him. They did. He spent 15 years in slavery. His tragedy was something that you can go on and think about it. I mean, he was falsely accused. He was put in prison and forgotten there. And finally, God came through, and he made him second in charge in Egypt. And, you know, his tragedy was a part of God's plan in his life, and his ability to endure it came from his trust in God. And you read that story closely. Chapter 39 through chapter 50. It's a great, great short story in the Bible. You know, he trusted God with that. Everywhere you read in there, it said Joseph was blessed by God, and Joseph trusted in God. So no matter what came his way, Joseph continued to trust in God. And at the end of all this, chapter 50, verse 20, is absolutely stellar scripture. He looked at his brothers who had sold him off into slavery when he finally got back with them. He said, "You meant it for harm, but God meant it for good." And Job, who lost everything except his wife, who told him, "You ought to curse God and die. Just give up. You've lost everything except for me. 10 children and all kinds of wealth and horses and everything you can imagine, all of them in one day. Job said, "Shall we receive good from God and not evil?" And then he said these words, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Even if he kills me, I'm going to trust him. Why is that? Because he's a good God. He's a good God, church. He's a good God. I'm sick and tired of the culture slamming my God. I'm tired of the culture slamming my Jesus. Because he's a good God, and he's a loving Savior, and he will allow you to go through things that you would never choose on your own. But my friends, here's the question. God, what do you want me to learn while I'm here? And the reality of the moment is that there may be no other way for you to learn what it is God has for you unless you go through that. Thousands, if not millions, of people would have starved to death in Egypt had Joseph not been falsely accused and put in prison, because God gave him the plan and he gave him the vision that there was going to be 7 good years when grain was going to be plentiful, and there would be 7 very lean years. And he went to the Pharaoh and he said, "This is what's going to happen. 7 years, we need to fill up the bins. We need to pack it into the cupboard. We need to make sure we do everything we can to get as much food stored up as possible, because there's going to be 7 very lean years." And that's the reason his brothers even came down to Egypt, because they were starving to death where they were. You see, and he had an understanding. God don't always give me what I want. God doesn't always give me what I pray for. God doesn't always put it in the timing that I'd want it in or the way that I would love to receive it. Sometimes I'm going to have to struggle a little bit, and I'm going to have to figure out whether or not I still trust him, irregardless of the circumstance. If he's a good God and he's who he said he is, and he'll do what he said he's going to do, then my friends, that's better than money in the bank, because I can always go to him and I know he's going to be there. Moses, same way. 40 years in the wilderness before God sent him back to Egypt to free his people from the slavery that they'd been in for over 400 years. He led them right to the edge of the promised land. God saw and he lived within God's purpose. And it's important that you and I don't have a faulty understanding of faith. It's not a vendor thing. You can't just push a button and get what little bit you need for today and then let it go like it doesn't really matter. Real faith is in a person, not in a circumstance. It's in the person of Jesus, the only one in whom you and I can securely place our trust. Book of Hebrews says it very good, and we just read that. It was written to a group of Christians, listen, It was written to a group of Christians who were being pressured by their community and their circumstances in general, and they were being pressured to abandon their faith, to give it up, to close up shop, to walk away, to look at God and say, nope, you're not getting it done for me, so I have no use for you. And one of my concerns as a pastor today, friends, and I see it, is we have folks who come into the church and they get a close look at what's going on here, and for whatever reason they walk away and they never come back, and it breaks my heart. Because if you show up here and you get a really good look at God, and you get a really good feel for what kind of Savior Jesus is, and you get a really good dose of the reality of the Word of God, and that's why I preach the truth. I'm not looking for balloons in a parade or accolades and praise. I'm just saying to you that, folks, we the pulpits across America, we have to get back to this book and not worry about what people are going to think about us for telling the truth. Can I tell you that I love you and that I appreciate you because you let me do this? And if you feel like it's being aimed at you, then I have failed you. I want you to hear my heart before you hear my voice. God is a good God all the time. And He's worthy of our trust and our faith. And He's worthy of our praise. And He can be trusted to take care of us in ways that we cannot take care of ourselves. And if your faith is on the fence right now, may I encourage you, please, don't let the devil whisper in your ear that God doesn't care about you because you're dealing with a loss. Or God doesn't care about you because you're dealing with a disease. Or God doesn't care about you because you're dealing with a relationship issue or a failure. The testimony of this book will prove you wrong every time. He does care. And the question to you would be, what would my life be like if down deep I really believed that? Please don't think I'm making light of your circumstances. I understand some stuff is tough to handle. Some losses are almost impossible to get through, much less get over. I understand. The pain is very real and it's yours and nobody lives it like you do. I get that. So make sure you don't hear this as judgment. Make sure you don't think that I'm talking at you. I'm speaking to you from my heart and from this word. Our God understands us. He cares about what happens in your life and mine. So if Christ is who He said He is, when bad things come into our life and when struggles happen, we need to begin to ask different questions. My life versus Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. It's my choice. I can believe that or I can take issue with it. Yeah, God, I imagine some things you could probably deal with, but not this one. Because I don't think you know how I feel about this one. Yes, He does. You don't know how much this one hurts. Yes, He does. And you don't know how long I've struggled through this one, God. Yes, He does. I would challenge you to ask maybe a different question. Just be real. God, this is bigger than me right now. It has the potential to control me. Maybe it has been, and I'm weary in the fight. I'm weary in the struggle. The pain is very real to me, and I'm tired, and I don't know what my next move is. But You do, and I trust You in it. Maybe He's doing a work in your life through a loss or a tragedy that you would never have invited on your own, and maybe you've yet to realize that He can do some amazing things when it doesn't go well. And if our faith is circumstantial, I can assure you, can absolutely assure you, that there will be some kind of a circumstance in your life that'll do its very best to steal whatever faith you bring to the table on a daily basis. That's just what Satan does. He steals our faith, and his favorite place to function in our life is when our faith is circumstantial and it's not relational. And by relational, I mean, do you know that you know that you know that if you died today, you'd go spend your eternity with Jesus? Have you ever asked him, have you confessed your sins and asked him to be your Lord and Savior? Have you ever said, Lord, I know I'm as lost as yesterday without you, and I need you today. Would you be my Lord and Savior? Have you ever prayed something like that and then seen the change that came when the Holy Spirit came to live in you? God knows how you feel. He knows why you feel the way you do, and he's there to help you if you'll call on him and let him get that chance, the authentic faith, the real deal, folks, the real deal. He's worthy of our faith. He's worthy of our praise, and he loves you and wants to help you carry that load. Would you give him that chance? Maybe you need to join this church. Maybe you need to be saved today. Maybe you just need to come down here and pray at this altar and just ask God to give you a boost. Maybe you've known him for a long time, but you're struggling. You've been the biggest struggle you've ever had with your faith. And you might be just this far away from walking away and never coming back. We don't know those things. May I encourage you to lean on him and give him a chance, because he loves you so much. Stand with me and we'll pray. Father, you're an awesome God. Every moment, you've been so misrepresented and so misinterpreted. And I realize that Satan would love for us to believe that you genuinely don't care. But thank God that your amazing grace tells us that you do and that you always will. And the good news is that we can come home to you if we've strayed, if we're struggling with that walk, or if we've never had that walk, can have it today. So Lord, I just pray, this is your invitation. Lord, would you move on those who need to make decisions today? And I pray that they would not leave this building until a decision has been made. And we'll praise you for it and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?
Yeah.
if you're visiting with us today and you choose to leave, we're going to go into a very short business meeting. We'll probably be here for 5 minutes. We'll pass out some financials and some minutes from the last time. You're free to stay, but feel free if you want to leave. They're going to be passing those things out while that's happening. Let me put this down. How many of you like a really good movie? Honestly, we're going to have one here tonight. The good news is that if you come back tonight, you don't have to hear me preach. The best news is I've seen this movie. It's called I Can Only Imagine. The song is awesome. Many of you have heard it. It's got great words to it. It's about what we might be feeling when we get to see Jesus, when we head to our eternity. I can only imagine what I might do. Would I fall on my knees? Would I shout hallelujah? I'm not sure. But the guy who wrote this song is part of this movie, and it tells about how it came about. So at 6 o'clock tonight, admission's free, obviously. Would you please come back and join us for that movie night that we're going to have?
Brother Kim.
Yes, sir.
Can I make it quick enough?
You sure can. Stand up and make it.
No, you don't know me. I've been fighting cancer for over 3 years now. And it got better, then it came back worse. In fact, the doctor hurt pretty bad. We kept it quiet. But anyway, I went to the doctor one day, and I am cancer free.
Questions or answers that you would want based on what you see here. And I think the minutes attached to this. Separate. Okay, that's separate. That's something I didn't get. Just look over those things. If you have questions, now is the time. Richard, it was all I could do not to share that this morning in my message. And I hope that you do something about that. No, I was stupid is not the right word there. See, that's what I think the message is about too. Is never underestimate God and what He can do in the middle of circumstances. He does some great stuff. Let me shut up and y'all take a look over these things and see if you find anything you need a question answered about. Pieces. If you need it, you need to get it. Raise your hand, these guys, and make sure you get it taken care of. Before we go any further in this, can't see it, the Bucket Brigade is on the job. I absolutely love that. First time I saw that, I couldn't help but smile. Who you calling now? Just kidding. Before we say another word about this, Brother Paul Osborne, lead us in a word of prayer. Would you do that?
Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for the message you've heard this morning. Father, that message can apply to each and every one of us in this church today, Father. We're so thankful that you are a loving God, that we can place our trust in you. Father, we know without you we have no hope when we leave this earth. But through Jesus Christ, we can spend eternity with you if we know him as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, I'm so thankful today for the military, men and women that serve our military throughout this world. Father, with so many of us don't even give them a second thought anymore. But they're protecting us while we're here in church, worshiping freely, and while we sleep at night, Lord, just keep your hand of protection on them. And Lord, we just just thank you for this church. What a loving church, Father. And Lord, we just pray that you'll be with this business meeting, that it be conducted in a respectful way and in a courteous way. We just thank you for what you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'll take a minute or two to look over this. When you're done looking over this, if you have no threat or any questions, just ask them now. If not, just kind of look up here. We'll might still get to beat the Methodist to the buffet. I don't know. Maybe. Anybody got a question? Except the minutes from the last meeting. Any questions or issues about that? Okay. You can take this home with you, obviously. Read through that. If you have any questions, we'll be happy to answer those for you. Rick, you have anything? Linda? Have anything? All right. We're going to do it, by the way, a motion, irregardless. I hear a motion that we adjourn. No. And what? I thought it was approved. Okay. All in favor of approving the minutes, say amen.
Amen.
All in opposed, say oh me. One that way, is that good? Or a different way?
I don't know, I'm still confused.
Okay. You want this done that way too? Before I make another mistake. We good? All approved of financial statements, say amen.
Amen.
All opposed, say oh me. I think we're good. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed, Brother Rick.
Well, Lord, I do thank you for your love and mercy and grace. Thank you for serving the loving people. I pray you.